This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we are talking about Venom, The Last Dance.
The Last Dance certainly is.
That's it, John. Dance. No more
That's
Venom.
That's it. No more Venom. No more Eminem. No, well, Eminem wasn't in this. But no more Eddie Brock. Honestly, this is quite sad how we reached to the end of this trilogy. This was so disappointing, as this was one of the most anticipated films this year. I knew it was going to be something, but I was like, it'll be fine. It'll be like Fast and Furious. Just have some fun. It certainly was not.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like, I wanted to go in and just have a good time. I think the first Venom, you kind of have a good time with that film, but the second one really hit that we're having a good time. We're kind of embracing the silly, the camp. And somehow, I don't understand, but this film seems to have lost all of that sense of fun, all of that energy, and instead, everyone, especially Tom Hardy, just looks exhausted. There are so many scenes where Tom Hardy's just sitting there like, what is my life? Which does fit the character of Eddie in this film pretty well, but it's just kind of baffling that we're ending it this way in a film that takes pretty much none of the elements that people loved about the first two films. Maybe this is what they think people wanted, but I don't know who's making this film saying, yeah, this is where the story needs to go, or this is what the audience might want, because it all just felt like this strange, tired out version of the other two.
I think they just went off the rails, especially that this film is after the events of No Way Home / Spider-Verse, because Spider-Verse actually explains about the whole mysterious thing about Michael Keaton's character, which I forgot his name.
The Vulture.
Pigeon.
The pigeon, my old nemesis, the pigeon.
The pigeon, the vulture.
I don't know how I got here. It has something to do with Spider-Man, I think.
Yeah. This film, it feels complicated because of the events of No Way Home and where it places Eddie. I just completely had no interest to what is going on. And I just hate how it just telling us like, oh, this is what Eddie wants. It's rough. And it didn't tell us what the movie is going to be. Is there a last dance?
Technically, yes. The Dancing Queen. I remember in 2021 when Let There Be Carnage ended and everyone was going crazy about this post-credit scene where Venom gets sucked into the MCU. Some people were saying about how it's the most exciting post-credit scene of all time. And even at the time, I'm pretty sure I said this in our video, I just thought to myself, is it really that exciting? Like, what do you want? Venom to just show up and then just be like another adversary in a film that is going to be full of other characters? And it was almost like a joke on the audience that Venom wasn't actually in No Way Home and all we got was that little post-credit scene. But that post-credit scene of No Way Home is the second scene of Venom The Last Dance, and it's really strange because it feels that the film needs to explain away what happened in that film. It feels like poor planning and misunderstandings between Marvel and Sony meant that we ended Venom Let There Be Carnage in a certain way that we now have to pedal back. I don't think it's a spoiler to say the film literally begins with Eddie in the MCU and then comes back to his universe and is like, oh, okay, that, and we don't really ever address that again. It's just that scene from No Way Home and then we pick up with Eddie straight after.
Explain.
There's this line when Venom just says, oh, I've had it with multiverses, and it just felt like another one of those things. We had it in Deadpool, you know, the kind of, oh, audience is sick of multiverses, haha, look at how in tune we are. And it's like, I don't think you're in tune, because you were the ones making the multiverse shit. Nobody is saying we don't want multiverses when it's something like Everything Everywhere All at Once or the Spider-Verse films or even elements of Deadpool. When it's done well and people respond to it, the people making the films aren't like, oh, multiverse sucks. No. So like, stop being like, no more multiverses. Am I right, guys? It's like, you are the ones trying to make this a thing. And now the film is opening already way too much more convoluted than it needs to be because of your mistakes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to say. Like, it's the mistakes that they're trying to blame on other things, like on the audiences, like, oh yeah, motivation. And I just got really tired about this whole film because I really like the characters, but it just went nowhere. I do want to talk about how odd the movie is if you compare it to the other movies. Like, sure, the other movies, they had some really interesting characters. I mean, we got to see some cool symbiotes as well in this movie. That's a really cool feature of the film. We get to see new designs, and that was a cool thing. But I wished they focused on more the symbiotes and how it senses around Null, No, only appears at the beginning and at the end of the movie. That's it. And I thought he was going to be a really important villain to destroy, potentially, Eddie and Venom. I thought this is going to be a powerful villain. And there was multiple sources on the studio saying, like, this is not the last time we're going to see Noel. And I was like, okay, let's see this. No, it didn't generate hype for me. I wasn't excited.
Who cares? Who's looking at this movie and going, oh, I can't wait to see Noel again. This is going to be exciting. Again, it's one of those things where studios feel so bloody desperate to recreate that hype of Thanos, you know, throughout the years. And that was great. But that also relied a lot on luck and chance and trying new things. You can't redo that. You're not going to redo it with Null, who just sits there and is like, it's my time soon.
Yeah, it's
like,
time.
If anything, Null is the memes that we were making about Thanos sitting on his chair for all those
man
years.
In the chair. It relies on the time, because what they're trying to do is relying on time to generate enough hype. And it's very odd to place the villain at the end of the trilogy, which doesn't make sense at all, because we haven't heard nothing to connect from the early movies.
Yeah, and Venom's like, my creator's coming. And it's like, nobody has ever asked who your creator is. Nobody is like, I want to know the origins of Venom. That's not why he's interesting. That's not why him and Eddie are interesting, and certainly not something the other two films care about. And the film was marketed so weirdly. The two things that the film really emphasized in the trailers were Null, especially in those later trailers, and stuff like the Venom horse. And the Venom horse in the film is literally just like, oh, we've been wandering the desert. Hey, look, a horse. Can you venomify it? Oh, yeah, you can. Okay, and now here's Queen. And then they just play Don't Stop Me Now. Sure, man. I really think it's incredible. And this film feels like it was just made by a bunch of kids who are like, yeah, that's cool, man. What else is cool? What can we do that's really cool? There's a moment in the film when Eddie takes off his croc and he throws it at a villain. And that actually sparked a memory, because me and you, John, years ago, we made a little short film about like a minute long about somebody who throws a croc at somebody else. And I just thought, this film has the same amount of emotional complexity as this little short video we made when we were about 12.
Yeah, it does feel like that. I think it's just like a bunch of writers that came into the room and then just thought about, yeah, let's add something cool that people know about this. But the problem with this film, a huge problem, is the time. Everything's rushed. It's like a non-stop roller coaster. You're stuck on and there's no escape. There were some good scenes, one in particular that I like, but there's some bits in the movie that just decided, okay, we're here now. For example, Eddie's on a plane. There isn't really any conflict or any obstacles for the characters. They just arrive and that's it. They just find out where they are and they use the cameras, or they use the alien just like, oh, there it is, and just jumps very fast. There isn't any stakes.
How did he get on the plane? When did this happen? Where was the
airport? Oh God, this is going to remind me of that boat thing that we talked about in Fast and Furious. How did the boat get
How did the car get on the boat, dude? Like, it really was just like, and next
no
scene,
context.
He's on a plane and it's like, sorry? Like, so much of this film feels like it was chopped up in the edit. I think Null is a great example of that. Null was absolutely 100% added super, super late. There is just so much of this film that feels tacked on. Like, they had a script and they're like, oh, what if this happened too? What if there was a fight scene with a plane? Or, hey, what if Eddie goes to Vegas? So much of it feels really strange and also really separate from the other two films. Remember how, like, when we were talking about Deadpool 3 and Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and this weird little trend in comic book movies where the third film, half of the side characters are gone, we're not in the main location of the other films. I cannot believe it, but it is exactly the same in this one. We're not in San Francisco, we're just wandering around the Nevada desert in Area 51 for some reason. None of the side characters from the other films are in here in their like iconic locations. Mrs. Chen shows up, but she's not in the convenience store anymore. Michelle Williams, is her name Anne, I think, was in both films, just isn't in this one, and was a really big thing for Eddie. You know, her and him were in love, and maybe the best moment of the film, I don't know, this is the same one that you were talking about.
Yeah, this is the one, yeah.
Is where Eddie is in a camper van and him and Venom have a little heart to heart where Venom's like, you could have had a real life. And I kind of ruined that for you, but I'm really grateful for the time we've spent together. And he kind of talks about, oh, you could have been in love. We don't even mention Anne in that scene. We don't even mention what could
it's
have been.
Mad.
It's really mad. Strange.
They've completely forgotten what the movies have been through. And that highlight in the first Venom film about Eddie's and Anne's relationship was pretty strong. They shape Eddie as a character, but what do we see Eddie in this film, he doesn't have any character development. We get to see the characters, but we don't really understand who they are. For example, there's one character, she's a scientist, but we see flashbacks when she got electrocuted and it killed her, what was it, like, her friend or...
her twin brother, specifically.
Twin brother, that's how we're shown. And then the story trying to purposely use that to link to a symbiote, which is very far-fetched, very out of place. We don't really learn about her as a character because we want to know about her. We want to know what she's like. But she's just a very hollow character. And that's why the film struggles. They don't have any time to reflect on the characters, to flesh out why do we want to follow these characters.
It's so weird. It's a slightly different creative team, different director, different writers. Obviously, you've still got Avi Arad looming over it all. And I feel like his hands are all over this and his influence. What he wants out of these films has always been clear ever since Spider-Man 3, to please audiences and sell toys and make money. And that is not how you make a film. It's so clear this film is trying to think about what the audience might want. That has never worked. This really should be about where the filmmakers feel is the most interesting to them and where they feel the story should go. In this one, like that scientist character, we add a bunch of different characters and they all feel like they're all crammed in. Reese Fans returns, not as Dr. Kirk Connors, but as Martin, the guy who likes aliens and is in a camper van with his family. And it's like this really strange part of the film where Eddie meets this family, and instead of emphasizing the idea of like what he could have had, we only get that in that one scene. And mostly it's just these are some weird guys who are just around for the ride and even show up in the finale. We also have Chiwetel Ejiofor as the army general, and I swear to God, if I had a nickel for every time that Chiwetel Ejiofor was in a comic book movie and completely wasted, I'd have two nickels. Which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice. And then maybe the oddest one of all to me was Stephen Graham returning from the second film. He spends this whole time in a cage, just standing there.
Ken reminded me of the thing that I did in the Zoom call. I stood in a menacing way in the corner of my room.
He's just standing menacingly in the corner of a room for the whole time. Yeah, and being like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I'm going to turn into a Venom. And then like he turns into this green Venom. And when he becomes Venom, that's when we get the exposition. It's so obvious that they had to redub over all of his lines and they had to have him be like, oh, we have an army of symbiotes. It's so crazy because we're adding all these characters in and none of them are developed and none of them really have any time. And the film is fairly short and the pacing is really good. Like, you do not feel it at all. But also, there's no time to really explore anything because it's like, let's not do anything of this interesting stuff. Let's see Venom and Mrs. Chen do a dance to ABBA. Yay, we're going to have a little dance in a hotel room. You can dance. It's just like,
it's like they're saying something, Tom. It's like they're saying the last dance.
Oh my God. We did it. Okay. We achieved peak.
We lost that chain, Tom. We lost that chain of peak.
We've already recorded next week's pod. And okay, there's a bit where you say, oh my God, the last few weeks have been so peak. We had Rings of Power. We had Transformers 1. And I was like, we also got Venom. And you were like, that's going to be peak too. It wasn't peak, John.
It wasn't. I want to apologize. Yeah. That is a very odd scene because we've seen her in the convenience store. It's nice to see her again, but it's just very odd to have her in Vegas out of nowhere. Again, the film doesn't contextualize a lot of things. It just goes straight in, expecting the audience that will catch up. And it's funny because the exposition only kicks in 20 minutes into the movie. And also there was two mysterious people in this dark room.
Oh my God,
And this was totally setting up to be like something in the future, like, yes, the mysterious people that are trying to look for things. And we don't know them. We don't know.
We never find out who these two people are. Will we? Maybe not. I would not be surprised if Kraven the Hunter is the last gasp of the Spum universe. It's so clear they wanted to have their Avengers moment. And instead of letting Marvel use their characters freely, they were just like, no, we must do it and we're going to make it terrible. And I think because the first two Venom films made money, they were tricked into thinking this is going to work. But I think Morbius, Madame Web, Venom 3, most likely Kraven the Hunter, I think we have proven that this is not really going to work, is it? The whole film is like, in terms of action, we're fighting soldiers or we're fighting big goo monster. There's never a moment where we have a villain, a bad or a good one. There are antagonistic forces, but never like a true villain, maybe Chiwetel Ejiofor, but barely. I mean, the second film had Woody Harrelson really chewing the scenery, and Naomi Harris was there as well, who was making it just as exciting to watch these villains just scheming and being these incredibly over-the-top threats. That was great. It feels to me like I loved the Eternals, and the weakest part of that film for sure was the way that they utilized the Deviants and Crow, the villain. It felt like that, but instead of having this other beautiful side of the story with Icarus and his villainy, we just have nothing. And it's really crazy to me. And I think it's funny that we haven't said, oh yeah, spoilers, because there's not really anything to spoil about this film. I guess I will say spoilers now, because the one thing there is to spoil is the Venom. Venom dies at the end and Eddie goes off on his own. And I don't think any of this film was truly about letting go or about Eddie being able to live his life properly, apart from that one camper van scene.
It's not tonally consistent. It just felt like, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to have some really cool fight scenes. Oh yeah, Venom dies at the end of the movie.
Surprise!
Surprise.
But it's okay, because there's now the Electric Flash symbiote, who is also here, who we're never going to see again, because they're not going to make another one of these, because that would be insane.
Yeah. It's so, so sad when you see actors in a movie trying to do a genuine performance of something, and they're trying to give their all, but it's just very hard. In a comic book movie, there's a bunch of CGI that's going on. Yeah, I just feel like this film has been reworked loads of times, trying to figure out what's the story. But then again, it's just too many ideas into one. It's just very disappointing. I don't know what else to spoil. If we're in the spoiler zone.
There is nothing to spoil. I mean...
Jim! Yes, Jim!
Jim! Oh my God. We get this moment when all the symbiotes are freed and they start latching onto people. And one that they latch onto is this random security guard who got like one line early on, and he dies. And another character's like, Jim, no. And then the symbiote bonds with Jim, and Jim becomes this other Venom. And it's like, do you expect me to cheer right now? Like, cheer for Jim? I did love Jim.
Oh my God.
Like, what a guy.
There are random bits in the movie out of place. They don't make sense. Like, here's the whole gag with Eddie trying to find a pair of shoes that he can wear. That's the entire joke, you know, throughout the movie. He's trying to find a pair of shoes. Is there a payoff for that? Yes, I guess he does find a pair of shoes at the end of the movie. He steals someone's, the scientist's shoes. And what's so weird as well, it's just the way how the dialogue is handled. The dialogue was just so, so robotic and so out of place. They just don't serve the story at all. Like, aha, you watch a bunch of space movies, General. You're too scared or something. Come on, you gotta think about the subtext. Like, why are they here? What is this for? And I feel like they're trying to focus on Noel. They try to focus on the family. They try to focus on the science stuff and trying to focus on Eddie. It's exhausting.
Everything that made the second film feel fresh and organic and lively is gone. And with the dialogue and with the actors' performances, it all just feels like nobody really wants to be there. I don't even know what, but when you see Tom Hardy's smile on his face when the film finishes, you're kind of like, yeah, I think he's happy to be rid of these. He's made his bank and now we'll go off and
He smiles at the Statue of Liberty. That's the end goal, I guess.
Venom loves the Statue of Liberty. As we know, it's a key part of the character. He loves the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, of course.
He's always like,
course.
Eddie, I love Lady Liberty.
I love the lady.
That's the big part. That's what we always wanted. I genuinely think that there are no hints in this film towards Venom being alive or the return of the symbiote. And I just think this is likely to be it. We've had 3 Venom films. Eddie even showed up in a Spider-Man film. And we haven't had him fight Spider-Man. He hasn't even had his superhero symbol. This whole time, we have just kind of watched him. Oh my God, I would I would pay good money. I'd pay more $1 billion for that. But we've done this whole thing, and that's it now. And Tom Hardy has said that he isn't really interested in coming back. And it just feels like, what was the point? We got one pretty good movie out of it, but it wasn't even like a classic. It wasn't even like, oh, Let There Be Carnage was masterpiece. It was like, it was a pretty fine film. It was fun. It was enjoyable. Yeah, I just kind of feel like, oh, we did it. What was the point? And Venom the Last Dance is now added to another in a long line of bad comic book films this year. It's not been a good year for the genre. Argyle sucked. Madam Web sucked. Joker sucked. This sucked. The best that we have to offer is Deadpool. I know a lot of people love Deadpool. I thought Deadpool was fine. It really does feel like we are in a dire situation. We are in a crisis, and there is only
one man. I said that on the way out. I was like, we're in a crisis.
I'm taking your words for that. There's only one man who can save us, And his name is Superman, James Gunn. I genuinely believe that the genre will live or die on how good Superman is. And I have so much faith. What are you going to give Venom The Last Dance out of 10?
3.
Oh, I'm going 2. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Oh, that's lower than mine. Oh, my God.
I know. That never happens. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, I can guarantee that it's going to get better because we have already recorded it. It's The Wild Robots.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Brilliant
stuff. We already recorded. Yeah.
And you can send us an email about The Wild Robot at outoftimefilmpod@gmail.com. And we will record an extra segment, throw it in there. It would be great.
Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time Film Pod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to El Jensmeyer for the excellent theme and Roland Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything. It's truly a roller coaster for this trilogy. And poor Jim.
Can't. Forever in our hearts.
Venom. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.